Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It is 4:32 p.m. Friday, April 22nd, 2011. With me this afternoon is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Thomas, and Senator Egan, and myself, Stedman. We have one item on the agenda this afternoon to put forth, but I want to make an announcement quickly. I know there's some folks here that are interested in House Bill 106, the Coastal Management Program. We had a CS prepared. We were trying to put on the table today, but in the negotiations that are taking place with the leadership teams in the closeout package, we found it was more beneficial to the process to not put that CS on the table, but to go ahead and continue to negotiate some of the finer points within that HB 106 as we move forward to closure. So unfortunately, you will not see that CS today, and we will keep you posted on that. But the other bill, the Senate Bill 46, the capital budget, that bill is of some interest around the state. Senate Bill 46 by the governor, making appropriations for the FY12 capital budget. This is the sixth meeting on this bill. For those that are wondering about the public process, questions that have been asked in the past, the sixth meeting. We previously heard it on February 21st, March 15th, March 16th, March 17th, and April 11th. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute and then set the bill aside, again, that is set the bill aside for further review. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute version T?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 46 Finance /T as our working document.
I'll object for explanation and invite Mr. Miles Baker forward, please. Mr. Baker, if you could introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, when you could all square it away, and then walk us through the changes on this bill.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Miles Baker, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. The CS before you, version T, you should have six reports, seven reports, actually, for the CS. There is a House District summary report, which will show you the difference by House District between the first CS that the committee heard and the one before you today. The second report actually gives the project detail, so it's a project comparison report, so you will see all the changes by House District between the two CSs. The third report is an agency summary report that compares the two CSs by agency. The fourth report is a fund totals report that shows you the difference between the two CSs by fund source. The fifth report is a House District summary that breaks the bill into its sections, which I will go over in a moment. The sixth report is the agency summary by section and with a comparison to the governor's amended capital budget. And then the seventh report is a statewide totals, fund totals by section and compared to the governor's budget. And if you look at that last report, Mr. Chairman, the last two reports, you'll see that the CS before you is a total of $2.688 billion. That's $1.468 billion in unrestricted general funds, $44 million of designated general funds, $96 million of other state funds, and $1.08 billion of federal funds. And that is, and that represents a $734 million increase over the governor's amended capital budget. So there's the Senate CS before you has added an additional $715 million of unrestricted general fund spending, $11 million of designated general funds, $6 million of state funds, and just under $900,000 of federal funds. If I could just point out some changes, Mr. Chairman, for the committees. In Section 1 of the bill, there were several project titles and grant recipient names that were adjusted over the last 3 weeks as we worked with the Department of Commerce on some of the grant recipients to make sure we had the right legal titles, and some of the legislative offices got back with us on some slight project tweaks. So you will see that throughout the budget in Section 1, and those are net zero changes and just trying to clean up, making sure that we had the right grant recipients. You'll notice on page 4, lines 31 through 33, which is the very bottom of page 4, we did make a slight change to the what we're calling the 50,000 threshold language. And you'll see this is the section, and it's repeated two other times in the bill under the grants to named recipients section on page 32 and also on page 51, the grants to unincorporated. And this is the language that directs the Department of Commerce for grants less than 50,000 that as long as the grant recipient certifies that the grant will be used for the intent, its intended purpose, that the department can just cut a one-time check of $50,000. But we did make a small language change there, and it's it says on page 5, line 5, you'll see it says that the grant recipient also must agree to return all unexpended funds to the state for deposit into the general fund upon project completion. So if there are funds left over that weren't used for that project, those are to be returned to the state. Section 4, which was $100 million, $100,585,000 of FY12 governor capital requests that had a $150 trigger price on it. That section's been removed, and all those projects are now included in Section 1 of the bill. We deleted a $15.5 million Kodiak school and replaced that with seven projects from Kodiak for a similar amount of money. On page 44, we increased the Life Alaska Donor Services grant from $20,000 to $55,000 to correspond with the money that's expected to be in that account. On page 37, line 21, we added $8.2 million for the Blood Bank of Alaska Facilities Expansion Project. On page 47, line 31, we added $2 million for the Special Olympics Training Center and campus improvements. On page 55, there was a mistake in the DEC water grants. There were two Ketchikan projects on that list from DEC's Muni Matching Grant Program, and the dollar amounts were flip-flopped in the wrong project, so there was a net zero change made there. On page 72, and it's also repeated on page 88, but on page 72, lines 27, we, working with the Department of Transportation, we made some slight changes to the intent language. It now reads, it is the intent of the legislature that when any named project that either increases vehicular capacity or has a construction cost exceeding $20 million is added, if a project that meets those two criteria is added to the statewide transportation improvement plan, the department shall provide written notification to the legislature, and the notification should contain a brief project summary to include title, short description of work, geographical location, cost, and estimated construction completion date. And both of those pots of money that intent language is assigned to are the parts of the department's funding that they use to basically germinate new projects and kickstart new projects in the design. So we wanted to make sure that there's communication with the legislature on which projects they're starting that may require additional funding later. On page 90, line 4, we changed the fund source for the University of Alaska Southeast Banfield Hall as a net zero change, but we increased GF by $2 million and reduced university receipts by $2 million. In Section 4, the energy package section, Mr. Chairman, we added back the governor's request for $10 million into the Southeast Energy Fund, which is on page 98. We moved all the municipal grants and the named recipient grants for energy projects. We moved those so that they will go through AEA. For AEA, the Alaska Energy Authority, to vet those projects. And on page 99, line 17, you will see we've added some intent language. It says, it is the intent of the legislature that the state's capital investment into any of these energy projects not exceed 50% of the total investment required to fully complete each project. The Alaska Energy Authority should evaluate each of the energy projects in this section using criteria similar to that established for the Renewable Energy Grant Fund by the Renewable Energy Fund Advisory Committee. If during their evaluation, AEA determines that an appropriation exceeds the 50% state funding threshold, the authority shall submit to the legislature recommendations for reductions or reappropriation by February 1st, 2012. And the intent there, Mr. Chairman, is for all of those energy projects that begin on page 99, line 25, and run through page 101, line 28, that the Energy Authority will look at those projects, work with the utilities and the communities, and determine what the full project cost is, and if these appropriations will exceed a life cycle project cost of 50% state investment, that they will come back next session with recommendations of how to reallocate those funds so that the state is not paying more than 50% of the cost of those projects. And page 100, we reduced the Kodiak Terror Lake project from $7.5 million to $3.75 million. That project is receiving money from the Round 4 Renewable Energy Grant, and so the appropriation we had put into AEA was excessive based on the project cost, so that was reduced. Section 10 is the most substantial change in terms of dollar value, Mr. Chairman. Section 10 is the school K-12 infrastructure investment section. And if you recall, the previous CS funded the entire major maintenance list, $275 million. This CS removes 84 of those schools and $201 million of funding. So the current CS funds the first 33 schools on that list for a total of $73 million. On page 121, line 26, we made a slight modification to the Casile case intent language. It now reads that the legislature intends that the following three appropriations for these three rural schools address the recommendations made by the court. Previous CS said satisfy the recommendations made by the court. And we also on page 122 added some conditional language that was meant to be added in the first CS and was overlooked with regard to the Kivalina school construction. This allocation is contingent upon the community of Kivalina moving to a permanent new location where the new school can safely be constructed. In the language section, the last section I wanted to go over, Mr. Chairman, on page 127, section 18, we removed the previous CS had that Department of Labor grant for training in the film and television industry was a one-year grant. That's been removed, and that grant will be a three-year grant. And you will see that referred to on the last page of the bill, on line 8, that appropriation lapses June 30th, 2015. We added two reappropriations from House Districts, House District 5 and House District 12, that had not been included in the previous CS. On page 138, line 19, we expanded the scope of the reappropriation to the LBNA committee to broaden the authority of what that $8 million reappropriation could be used for other purposes of the committee. And on page 138, section 36, you'll see the contingency language now is limited to the energy section of the bill because we've removed the other contingency, which was the $150 a barrel contingency, and those projects have all been moved into the first section of the bill. And we added section 37, which is a non-severability clause for the contingency language in section 36. And that language reads, notwithstanding AS 01-10-030, if the contingency found in section 36 of this act is held to be invalid, then the contingency is not severable from the appropriations made in section 4 of this act. And I think those are the primary changes, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. Do I hear further objection to the adoption of the CS?
Mr. Chairman, remove in brief eddies.
On the record. Seeing no further objection, do we have a motion? Or I remove my objection to the adoption of the motion. Do we have further objection? Seeing none, version T is adopted. We'll have a brief at ease. Back on the record, do we have any other questions, concerns from anyone? Seeing none, that will go ahead and conclude the meeting today. We're going to go ahead and set this bill aside for further review, I should add. This will go ahead and conclude the meeting today. We will keep everybody posted as the schedule goes through the weekend. We'll be continuing to labor through the weekend, trying to put the remaining loose ends together so we can get to an adjournment package that is suitable for both bodies. We are adjourned.